Hey, what's up? Welcome to the show. Feeling good with Duddy. That's me. Let's go. Oh, hello, everybody. We are back. Season 2, Episode 4 of Feeling Good with Duddy. That's right. I'm the co-host, Jake B. And beside me is my brother. But before that, we've got an amazing guest. We got Moy from Tomorrow's Bad Seeds. We're doing Scary Town. We're doing Poopersville. We're doing Band Camp. We got No More Words. We even got a Having a Day. Here he is, your host, Duddy B.
What an intro. Thank you, Jake.
Yeah.
Happy to be back here, Feeling Good with Duddy. Episode 4, as always, brought to you from our good friends over at KoiCBD.com. We love that over here. You know, we talk about it all the time. Took my drops this morning. Did you?
Did you?
So. Well, you know how it goes. Go to KoiCBD.com and put in code DuddyB at checkout. You're going to get 20% off. Also, another company that we love and helps us put the show on it. That is two N's, O-N-N-I-T.com. /Duddy, you're going to get 10% off. So many amazing products there. We use them all the time. We talk about it all the time. You know how it goes.
You know it.
And if you are listening to this show and you are enjoying it or you're not enjoying it, give us some ratings. Go and leave a comment. It really helps us keep the show going. It helps us get noticed more. It helps us. I'm going to say one of my least favorite words. It helps us with the algorithms. So we'll get noticed more.
I love those words that didn't exist 5 years ago. I mean, I know they were around, but now all of a sudden everyone's an algorithm.
Oh, algorithms. You got to know about the algorithms. Mm-hmm. But really apparently it does. You know, tell your friends, you know, to check it out. If you're liking it, give us a rating. If you're not liking it, give us a rating. Leave us a good review. Leave us a bad review. It all helps. Yeah. So, if you're out there listening and you do like, please go give us a rating and a comment. Patreon. We do have a Patreon page. If you like the show and you want extra content, more behind the scenes, we do behind the scenes from every episode.
Every episode, we have a full behind the scenes, like vignette, I suppose would be the phrase.
Yeah.
Or word. But yeah, and that exists on our Patreon. And then there's a new thing, though, that Duddy and I are pretty pumped about sharing with you. I'll let Duddy tell you, but this is going to be an exclusive show for our Patreon, and it's going to be happening immediately. So, very quickly, well, actually, right now, go to the Patreon, there will be a few of these stacked up. What are they, Duddy?
Me and Jake are now going to be doing, like, I guess we're going to, like, retro movie reviews of some sort. We're going to be reviewing all the movies that me and Jake watched as we were growing up. Movies such as Bloodsport.
All Van Damme.
Steven Seagal.
Sylvester Stallone.
All fucking Arnie. Arnold Schwarz. You know, you get it. We're going to be reviewing the
Bruce
best movies
Lee.
Of all time.
We understand it, I think.
So we're going to be reviewing all those. Those will be on our Patreon page. And if you want to find that, you go to Patreon /feelinggoodwithduddy.com. Mm-hmm. And yeah. You're going to get a lot of extra shit.
A lot of extra shit, dude. And you can see that we had a very wide, you know, range of films that we enjoyed. And you're going to get we were not down any type of hallway. Don't encapsulate us movie-wise because we can't be tamed. We're really into everything.
Yes. And also on this show, we have a new segment. And usually we do the segments later, but I'm just going to start it now because
He's having a day today, guys. Dude, the best segment. It's going to be a rare segment because having a day, we are only going to talk about people that have had a historically bad day. Like several stupid things happened to the same person in one day, and we will shine light on that person having a day today. Duddy's having a day,
guys.
And it's early. It's 10:45 a.m. and Duddy is fucking having a day.
Here's the thing, though. Like, there's some really bad stuff that's happened. This is like, I guess this is like first world problem day, having a day.
This is the most harmless having a day, but it is a day.
Imagine if this was you, you'd be like, having a day.
You're having a day. Okay. This is a day. No one wants this day.
First things first. Right. I woke up. Fine.
Oh, well, shit, right there.
Woke up feeling great, right? Oh, okay. I was out of coffee. Not that big a deal, right? You're like, okay, yes, that sucks. But you're like, all right, I'll get by. I have to, you know, I help get the kids ready for school and everything. So I couldn't go get some right then. I had to, you know, like an hour and a half of shit to do at home before I can go get coffee. And one thing I can't stand, too, is like, I'm not like a Starbucks guy. I'm not talking shit on Starbucks. I'm just, you know, I'm just but not a huge fan. Are. I'm not. I'm just not like a, I like black coffee. So if you're like a guy who just wants black coffee, you're not like going and waiting in fucking lines and shit. Yeah. It, you know, but I didn't want to get out
coffee
of the car.
Coffee black.
Yeah.
Just like, give it to
but
me
I
anyway.
Got in the fucking, I got, there's a Starbucks near my house and I never really do this, but I went and I got in the fucking, the drive-thru.
Starbucks drive-thru.
No big deal. But it took like, fuck, I was in there for like 25 minutes in that line. Having a day. Not a big deal still.
Right.
Got my coffee.
People are like,
cool.
This fucking
I know. Like I
guy
said, guys,
so
this isn't
far.
Bad. But not that bad. Got my coffee. Cool. I'm on my way to the studio. And I stop at a red light. Get rear-ended.
Ooh, starting behind, to have a day.
From behind. Ooh. Get rear-ended. Just and I look back and it's a dude just on his cell phone. He just fucking staring at his cell phone, didn't realize that there's a red light, and I'm stopped there, and he just fucking runs into me, right?
Getting rear-ended not in your car could be a great day.
Right.
I don't pretend
right.
to understand what you're into or care, yeah. you know, so I'm, and I celebrate you. Getting rear-ended while in your car, always a bad thing.
Bad
so now
thing.
You've had no coffee at home. That's
but
like
I got
a,
my coffee.
That's
eventually.
Like a flick in the ball.
Flick
but
in the
then
ball.
The 25-minute wait in Starbucks,
flick in the other
you
ball.
Got flicked in the other ball.
Yeah.
Now you've stopped at a red light. And someone smashed into the back of your car. That's like
I got kicked in the dick.
You got kicked in the dick.
Yeah.
Now,
now
you've
I'm
been
just like,
kicked.
Okay, now I have stomach pains from all of the, you know, harm that's being done to my lower regions. So, and then this fucking guy, right? I get out of the car and I'm not trying to be even pissed. I'm just like, hey man, let's can we do this quick? I was like, I'm already running a little bit behind. No big deal. We'll get taken care of. And I take a picture of my bumper, which is like hanging off. At least I was able to kind of like smash it back in there so I could drive and it wasn't dragging down the street. And I take a picture of his license plate and I'm like, hey, can I see like your ID or insurance card so I can take a picture of it? And this fucking guy goes, well, legally, I don't have to show you any of my documents. You should just be able to take a picture of my license and that should be fine. And I go, what if this is a stolen fucking car, dude, and you just drive off and I never see you again? I was like, that is not, I like, just let me get a picture of your fucking license.
Yeah,
and he's like, well, you know, technically, I'm like, dude, you were on your cell phone. You ran into the back of my car while I was stopped at a red light. Let me take a picture of your license so I can get the fuck out of here. So,
and that's how dedicated Duddy is.
Yeah.
He needed to be at this podcast. He had a show to do. He said, give me your fucking, let's go.
Give me your fucking license, jackass. So he fucking reluctantly, he takes his license out and I plink and I take a picture and I'm like later. And I fucking, I'm driving to the studio and I realize, shit, I didn't have my coffee. So guess what I did? I forgot my weed.
Oh,
also not
is.
A big deal
to
because we live in fucking California.
Having a day.
But
it's
like,
all the little things and one
it
big
is all the
thing.
Little things. And then I got rear-ended and I was like, okay, cool. Get to the studio, whatever. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I left my weed at home. No big deal. Again, not that big of a deal because I know there's a dispensary right next to the studio. And I go to and I fucking, I'm not even going to name the dispensary because I don't want to fuck them up. one thing I always talk about this, I'm like, dude, this day and age, you can't even find a bad bag of weed.
Look for bad weed.
Dude,
it's
I was like,
hard.
Go look for a shitty bag of weed. It'll be harder to find than a fucking good bag of weed. You're going to have to search for that shit.
If you Google bad weed, a picture of good weed pops up
yeah.
in this day and age. Like,
it's
no...
true. So I always talk about that. I'm like, it's great. So I just run in there really quick and I'm already in a rush because I'm a little behind because I got fucking rear-ended, right? No big deal. I roll in. I see my dude. I'm like, what up, bro? I'm like, just give me like two decent fucking like hybrids, eights or something. That'll get me through the day. And I just grab them. I don't even look at it. I don't even fuck. I just boom, peace out. And I get to the fucking studio. I open it up. Dude, it's like swag.
It is bad, bad weed. Like
I took,
everyone agreed.
Oh
he showed
my God.
Duddy's like, I didn't even know this
I'm sorry,
was a
guys.
Thing anymore.
So,
it's just
I literally
dry,
I took I do
dry
crumbly,
crumbly.
I took like three I took like three bong tokes and I was literally I don't even think I'm high.
I don't think so. It tasted like actual grass. Like walk out into your front lawn,
yeah.
take a bite. I'm sure it's good for you. It tasted like it was good for you.
I mean, I'll probably smoke it all.
Yeah,
we're
gonna smoke it. We're gonna
so
smoke.
At that point I'm like
having a day.
And guess what happens? Our
guess
guest
what
of
happens.
The day, Moy, from Tomorrow's Bad Seeds, rolls in at this moment. And he's like,
What is he? Paint the picture. Because he rolled in empty-handed.
He rolled in empty-handed. Which is fine.
I mean, he's not expected to have anything, but he goes.
And to be respectful, he's like, hey, is it cool if I like bring some weed in here and roll it up and smoke like during the show? I was like, of course. Yeah,
we think a little
baggy. And I was like, thank you, because I have some shitty-ass weed here. He's like, oh, don't worry. I got you. And he rolls in with just five different kinds of just fire and a lot of it, and he's just like, here, have some of this and that, and boom, boom. He hooked us all up.
You know, when someone walks in with a mason jar, you know, that, you guys, have anyone who smokes weed, when someone walks in with the clear sealed mason jar,
and I'm not talking like your fucking small mason jar, like not the small one, not the medium one, it was the big one.
It's
a
like
couple
you put
of them.
Cookies in this, boxes of cookies into this.
So, yeah, we'll just lead into that. You heard it. He saved the day, and he's
Let's
here.
Get it
we have
poppin'.
A good friend of our Moy from Tomorrow's Bad Seeds.
Moy, get up in here, bro. He's waiting out in the lobby. He's so stoned that there he is. That's right.
Yeah.
Come on in.
You.
Yee-hee.
What
you
up?
The day saver over here.
Saver. I'll come on the side.
Oh, yeah. Come all the way around, bro. Nice one. All right.
Yeah.
For everyone listening, we all stood up. We embraced.
I actually stayed sitting down. And I felt like an asshole for doing that.
Yeah, I was pretty bitch. But, what are you, Beyonce? All right. All right.
So yeah. So Moy, we go way back. I mean, we've been playing shows with each other for, I feel like, I want to say like close to 20 years.
Almost.
It seems like.
Yeah, like at least 15.
At least 15.
Sure.
Between 15 and 17 years, probably. So we go way back. You know, we've been doing this a long time together, so thanks for coming out, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Super stoked. Thanks for having me on the Feeling Good with Daddy charity event, too. That was
rad. Thank you for coming out. That was really so much cool. fun. Yeah, if any of you guys missed that, we did a huge charity event, and a bunch of artists came down and performed, and we got a lot of donations that we gave to some amazing charities, and Moy
really cool comedians.
Oh my god,
blew me away!
Hilarious comedians.
Except for the raunchy girl, she kind of scared me away. But everybody else was tight.
Yeah, Moy came down and performed, and yeah, it was raised fun. A lot of money for some good causes. That was fun.
Yeah.
So what's up? What's going down?
You know, just keeping the dream alive. You know, taking care of these kids and figuring out life at the same time. Just, you know, enjoying everything and. Kind of changed a lot since we were younger, you know, kind of trying to soak it in more than before. Before it was just like flashing and happening and like, what are we doing? It's just kind of a blur, you know?
Yeah.
But now I'm trying to slow it down and really soak it in and enjoy it, you know?
Oh, yeah. You got to.
We're all old now. We're all dads. Yeah. Every damn one of us. Well, let's rewind this. Let's do a brief like this. Let's give all the listeners just a full brief little history of you and the band. So where did you grow up?
Hermosa Beach, Manhattan Beach, South Bay Area. I live in Torrance now, though.
Mm-hmm. So same zone.
Yeah, same zone.
Right, all Southern California.
Yeah, right up the street from the Breakwalls where it started. Me and my brother, Matt, my guitar player, the other pretty much half of me in the band, we were just kind of both brokenhearted, chilling at the Breakwall, surfing. And we literally just started playing like Sublime songs, you know, and started playing Bob songs and Steel Pole songs together. And then I started playing. This is probably I was 20.
Okay.
And he was 19.
Just out of high school and stuff.
Yeah. And then I went to Brazil for like 9 months and lived with a girlfriend there for a long time. And we had already had a little thing going on, but I was, you know, going to go over there for a while. Then, you know, I thought when I came back, it was going to be kind of done, you know? But when I came back, I was 21 by then. He was still down. And so we started heading and just doing acoustic shows, you know, and started really learning about everybody else in our scene, like you guys and Expendables and Iration, you know, all the old school cats, you know. I mean, obviously the ones after Slightly Stupid and all that stuff, but, you know, we just started jamming. And then we got together with his cousin. Johnny was the original drummer. And then by chance, the bass player that we chose that we knew from the Breakwall at that time happened to be their uncle through marriage. And we didn't find that out, Al.
Oh, wow.
We didn't find that out till like 8 months into being a project. And we're like, what?
So you're talking about related? Matt, the original guy you started the band with. And
his cousin Johnny was the drummer.
And then the bass player
would surf with us at Breakwall. I knew the people from the Breakwall because that's like my local spot. And we knew who played bass, and he was dope. He's really a guitar player too, and sick bass player, really. But we didn't know. And then later on, we found out like 8 months, a year into the thing. We knew each other, obviously, but we didn't know that they were related through marriage. As like he was Matt's uncle. I was like, what the hell?
A family band all of a sudden.
Yeah, I was the only one not in the family, you know? Yeah. And then it just went from there, you know, we started playing shows, and then obviously, you know how it goes, who's down and who's not, you know, who can hang and who can't, and it's not easy, people don't see the behind-the-scenes stuff, but, you know, it ended up changing the lineup a little bit, and Now the lineup's changed again, you know, but people come back, you know. Yeah. I'm like leaving the door open for any member that played with us. It's like, you know, because like Dre, our recent bass player that actually played for 10 years with us before or after Al, he is now doing van life. And he has a 6 Sprinter van with him and his chick. And they travel all over and they live in it. And they have crazy Instagram videos of them like waking up, opening the door, there's like a baby bear right there. You know?
Oh, that's awesome.
You're waking up next to it. They open their like doors and it's just a sick ass little lake in the middle of nowhere with fresh snow and iced out, you know?
I mean, hard to mess with that.
Yeah.
All right, you're doing.
That sounds fucking, I'm
but
jealous.
Then, but when then, you come right? back, when your band comes back around though, dude. You're
and so whenever going. He does come back, we do. Like for the big shows, like he might play One Love with us, you know?
Nice.
I was doing a little circuit thing with the Chargers with iHeartRadio. And he came and played 2 of the shows with us too. So it comes back around, okay, you know. But for the main part, it's me and Matt holding down, and Pat, our newest drummer, which is only the second drummer we've had. You know, but we have a sick keyboard player. We're a 4-piece right now, or 3-piece backing me, and it's working really well. You know,
sweet,
keeping the dream alive, baby.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time on the show. Like, man, to be in a band, and it's hard to find, you know, 4 dudes that all have.
I mean,
the
they're
time.
Down when they're in high school and you know, up to 20s
you
and
get
30s.
Older,
you know?
Life starts happening.
Yeah,
life starts happening, man. Tough. And people's, you know, passions and things start to change.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know? It might have it. 100% still the flame is burning, you know. So I'm like, who's with me?
No.
Who's with me?
It's nice to see the resurgence of it, you know. Like it's seeing you guys come back like hard is good.
Yeah, I'm trying right now for sure. Thank you.
How many?
Thanks for the help too, because you guys have been helping us out a little
bit. Oh man, our pleasure, man.
Have you ever taken? Let's talk about this. So your band, dude, you guys had great success. You guys toured for
a lot
of good
things.
You did a lot of really good things. Did you ever take more than just like the one break that you kind of semi-recently took?
No, that was pretty much it. But things got changed after Warped Tour because certain people met certain people and certain ideas were introduced to the table. And then the idea of our name was just, they didn't like it. And still people have a problem with it. But I like it. It keeps me underground. I like what it said. People know who we are of it, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the Nick Cave lovers sometimes hate for sure. But whatever, you know, it's all good. I love Nick Cave. But, you know, the whole thing changed, you know, and back then, just to keep it real, I gave somebody else like the power that I should have been more involved. And I tried at first, but I was like, I don't want to bite the hand that feeds you type of thing. So I went with it, you know, I'm going to go and dedicate to giving this person the reins of, you know, running the ship and see what happens. And, you know, obviously their heart and passion wasn't in it and mine is completely. And that's why I decided to really take a second chance at like doing the vision that I initially had, you know?
Yeah.
Because the vision changed after Warped Tour. Mm-hmm. And it had a little bit to do with us, too, because the influence. You know what it's like. You're on Warped
Tour.
You know, you go from kind of doing our thing to saying, oh, shit, look at all these other crazy things.
Yeah.
And we started adding all these other influences and making it dubstepy and crazy and all this crazy shit. And then, you know, things changed. And then they tried to take us to Europe and change the name. Like, the whole name changed, you know?
Yeah.
We had a whole name change. And
when I didn't even know that. What was
the
life change to?
It was Life. Yeah. When I came into the studio that morning.
I had no idea.
When I came into the studio that morning. It's a dope album we put out, though. I'm not going to lie.
It was very cool.
But when I came into
the name too.
When I came into the studio, they're like, what do you think about Life? I was like, fucking Life is great right now.
Yeah.
I'm like, we're fucking doing shit. Cool. Like, what's next? You know what I mean? We got off our 3rd Warped Tour. We're not going to do Warped Tour this next summer. I was planning on doing some dope shit with you guys or somebody. Because we had done 3 summers of Warped Tour, pretty much. And that's like, when you dedicate your life, you know what it's like.
Warped Tour is tough.
There's nothing else, too. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? You guys did it in a van the first year. That shit's fucking brutal. I can never even imagine it. You guys are fucking warriors. The whole thing, right? The whole thing?
Yes. Yeah,
crazy. But going back into that whole thing, it was like, I totally lost my train of thought now thinking about that shit. See, the weed is really good.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Life.
Yeah,
life.
Yeah. Life.
Yeah, life. Okay, there we go. So we did the whole band Life thing, but I didn't like the name. I mean, I like the name as a name, but when we did that, I was like, what are we doing? Like, a whole other thing? Excuse me. Whoa. And immediately I was rejected towards it. But again, they were coming at me like, oh, but there's this and we can do that. And then another person outside of our thing came with a little bit of money and said, I'll support the project. I'm like, okay, well, we don't got to use Bad Seeds money into this. Let's try this then. And so we went for it, you know, but obviously tomorrow's Bad Seeds surged over it again.
Yeah.
We tried to make a comeback thing and then shit fell apart with Sean and his dad, just to keep it real. You know, and they went their separate ways and we went our separate ways. And some conversations were made to where it just to be discouraging towards us of moving on, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, fucking right, bro.
Yeah.
And then, you know, now I'm just working hard and getting there. And I feel honestly in a comfortable place to where like, okay, now we're in our feet are set on the ground. Now let's get running. You know what I mean?
I love it, man. Sometimes you got to do it yourself.
Yeah, and that's it.
You know?
Like Russ, you heard that song?
Yeah.
How could I do it myself? I don't need fuck it, I do it myself. Anyway.
So yeah, we've been playing shows, like we said, we like, you know, 15 years at least. But one show that we did together really fucking stands out to me.
It was Jared Watson's birthday too, I think.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh my God. So
Dirty J's birthday.
So it was Jared's birthday. I don't even remember that, but holy crap, to make it even crazier.
Sorry.
It was a show out in Mexico, and I believe it was like Rocky Point, Mexico.
Yeah,
was San Felipe.
This is a thing. Like, so festivals down there are like a thing, and not all of them are successful. This tells
and this is
us.
This is, you know, like we said, this was probably 12 years ago, at
2009?
Least. Yeah, maybe 12.
Before Warped Tour.
Yeah, it was before Warped. It was a long time ago. So, I mean, let's say 12 years ago, like this scene, this reggae rock scene, wasn't
what it is
much
now
at all. Yeah. It was now, very small.
Yeah, now these festivals in Mexico are huge and now super successful. You guys were there when this was like a test. Mm-hmm.
This was test. Cool. So, and this was a guy. We got hit up randomly by
what's
a dude.
His name? I was trying to think of his name too,
and I can't fucking think of it. And he was such a nice guy.
Yeah, he was.
I want to say like Johnny or something, but I don't think
it was.
Yeah,
it was more Latino name.
Yeah, but so, yeah, he hits us up. Hey, I'm putting on this reggae rock festival down in Rocky Point, Mexico. If you guys come down, we'll pay for your gas and we'll give you like $1,000 and all the band members get their own hotel room at this all-inclusive resort. So at that point, we're like, dude, $1,000 and rooms in Mexico?
And a whole trip?
We're fucking there, bro. Exactly. Of course. Like, all we were caring about was partying, you know? We just wanted to have a good time.
Yeah. Everything is on this dude.
Yeah. So he gets, you know, I don't remember how many bands were booked, but Dirty Heads, Tomorrow's Bad Seeds, I'm pretty sure Ballyhoo.
Pacifier, Tribal Seeds.
I mean now everybody. This lineup would fucking
Iration.
Crush.
I think they were there too.
It would have been a great show. Oh, and there was like some old school, like there was
Catastro,
and I think like
Pacific Dove.
That's right. So yeah,
the young guys were there too.
It was all the old school fucking homies. And then and we get there, and like I said, this was a test. He had never done this before. He was attempting to put on this festival.
A little ahead of his time, I would say.
Nobody came.
Yeah, like
30
people.
Nobody came, because none of these bands at the time, none of us were even big bands.
Yeah.
We were all just getting going.
Yeah. Someone, he just thought, if I get all of them to come, people will come.
And nobody in Mexico had ever heard
no,
of any
hell
of us.
No.
You know? And then people were thinking,
we weren't like, in the close part to Mexico. No, we're like fucking out there.
It was a pain to get to this place. Yeah. So then, you know, nobody fucking came. So, and he had it set up as if,
gorgeously.
You know, he had it set up as if 50,000 people were going to be here.
It was on the beach,
looking at
the ocean, great huge stage,
surrounded with vendors. Mm-hmm. The vendors were there.
Yep.
Food, people cooking
food. It was ready.
It was ready to party.
And I've got questions, dude.
Okay, but
I remember this time. Yes. So I think I might have been living with Duddy. I just remember you telling me this guy lost his ass, but I never got the details.
Ass. Yeah. But he, so... And I'm not even kidding or exaggerating here. Besides the bands and the people that the bands brought, I'm saying 20 other people.
Wait, I have
pictures. Actually, my dad had tripped me out because my dad was there in business from Mexico, and so he had driven like 4 hours to come see us play, and I hadn't seen him like a month because he'd been out there. But I have pictures of us sitting down late at night just in lawn chairs and fucking Dirty Heads just playing.
No.
Yeah, shit like that.
I remember at one point... And I think,
yeah, I was tired,
didn't we have
dude.
To play, wasn't it like,
a,
did
a
we
dual
play
thing.
Two
yeah,
nights?
I think,
we
I
did
think
like
it was two dual, yeah.
days
We had to play
this.
Two shows.
And we played both days.
Yeah.
And the second day, we already knew what it was going to be.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But we were getting paid, and like, of course he was like, but people might show up, you know? We'll play, whatever.
Yeah,
we're on the beach,
we're here,
just getting
shit.
Hammered. It got to like the first band that played that day, we were all friends. I don't even remember. Maybe let's just say it was Pacifier. And they were like, you know what? Whoever wants to just come on stage, just come on stage. Because it was like 10 people watching and then some drunk people that were in bands that were playing later. So everyone just went on stage. So the rest of the day, it was just people on the stage.
Jamming.
It was everyone
the
just
show
hanging.
Was on the
show
stage.
Was on the stage. Even the 20 people that bought tickets were on the stage, sitting around. All the bands would kind of take turns playing. That's all it fucking was.
Imagine if you did that now there.
Oh, my. It would be huge.
Yeah, that exact lineup would just be
crushed.
Fully. So, this is what I'm thinking. You guys are going down there. What are you thinking that you're about to show up to?
Well, the way he described it, we're like, oh, this is going to be rad. So like, this is going to be a huge fucking party. Rush, this is going to be a huge
what
fucking
do you
rad
mean?
Party.
All the homies
beach.
Are there. It's freaking.
You're just like,
oh.
Yeah, we did.
I mean, we all had a great time.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
of course. He lost his ass.
But yeah. I want to know this shit too. You show up.
Yeah.
At what point do you guys realize, like, oh, this isn't.
Yeah, I started. We started asking questions that day because we showed up the day before, like the festival, mm-hmm. right? And we knew, like, oh, everyone who's coming to this is most likely probably staying at the resort as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then we show up and it's just ghost town. And, you know,
I
like,
see
oh,
band
no,
members.
Everyone's showing
I
up
see
later.
Band
you know?
People.
And then that night, you
like,
know,
does
we're
anyone
like,
work here?
Yeah,
where
we're
is
like,
anyone?
We're like partying that night and all hanging out, all the bands. And we start. Wait, where's like?
So when are the people showing up?
Fans and like, stuff.
How many tickets did you sell?
And he's just like, no, they're gonna show. They'll be here, man. They're coming.
It's a walk up crowd. It's a real walk up crowd.
And then it was just in the morning. There was just and you knew it. You saw. Yeah. You were like, oh, no one's coming.
But once it settled in, we were all cool.
Yeah.
But once it settled in, because I remember being the same way. I was like, yeah. All right. At least we got each other.
We got each other, man.
It's so funny when you're young, when you're younger in bands or when you're smaller in bands and you kind of don't know what every show is going to. You're always driving to the show imagining that it's going to be the shit because the promoters of
they
shows
always
are always positive.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
And you're always like, dude, tonight's going to be the night, man. There's going to be hundreds of people here. And you show up and there's always that moment where you're like, there's no one in the parking lot. Like, is this a late crowd? And then everyone starts chatting backstage like, yo, we're playing to each other. It's always a weird thing.
So another,
you did it all the way in Mexico.
I don't know if you remember this, but I hope you do. And I hope you remember the band name. Because you and your chick ended up driving home with us.
And this
was right before we left to go home from, like, to back to the States. And we were all fucking with each other, all the bands, that whole tour, just giving each other a hard time and doing what you would do if you had nothing else to do
but
fuck with each other.
Uh-huh.
And God, Christian had bought like this monkey statue from, we went into town one day and Christian bought like this weird monkey statue. And somehow that night in our drunkenness, we broke the statue. And we like left it wherever we were partying. And when we woke up that morning, we went down to our van and the monkey statue was stuck to the hood of our van by a piece of human shit. Human shit on the hood of our van and the monkey statue smashed into the human shit.
All aboard.
So that was a real thing, and we were just laughing, and we actually drove for a long time still with the statue. And
you said fuck it.
We were like, fuck it.
Touch
and
it.
What was the name of that?
Dude, that's creepy. That's fucking creepy. So you guys broke a sacred statue of some sort, and
it was like
up.
Christian.
But that's kind of a creepy thing, though. It's like, hey, we broke this statue, some monkey statue, and then it's stuck to the front of your fucking car the next morning. You're in a foreign land.
Yeah, no, it was. It was the guy from that.
Yeah,
one of the
from
bands.
One of the bands.
He climbed up on the hood and shit.
I don't think
the
that
guy's
think
a fucking
a
legend.
They're not a band anymore. No, it wasn't expensive.
Because they do crazy shit like that.
No, it definitely wasn't. It was like a band
that
like we
anymore,
never. I don't think so.
Fuck. That's what I was trying to remember.
I think they were a very like a smaller
band. I love whoever did that.
But yeah, they were out there when we came and they were like, you know, filming and shit.
Where's that footage? If you guys are watching, where's that footage?
Yeah, dude.
That reminds me of a story quickly. When my old band played, we played a show. It was like a boat race and it was sponsored by Spanky's. It was like a porno thing.
That.
You remember this?
Yes.
And so there's a pit going on in front of the band. And people are throwing dildos around.
No
you know,
yeah,
Spanky's was like a sex spot, you know, so dildos, condoms, everything. And there's this big purple dildo, like a fucking, you know, foot long dildo getting swung around in the pit. Someone stuck it to the hood of our truck and we drove home
just
with
bop,
it.
Bop,
and
bop.
It just wobbled on the top all the way home. And I live with my parents still. You know, Duddy lived at home. We all lived at home. I brought it home. My parents are dying laughing. They stuck it on my next door neighbor's front door.
Nice.
That's the best. Stuck
it. Yeah, I'll never forget. My mother, whap, dude. It's just sticking. So shout out to Scott and Arnett. That was our next door neighbor's
Scott
door. That thing was just flapping on it.
That was good.
Oh, it's always fun. So that's cool. You guys drove with a shitty monkey on the front of your car.
We long did. Drive.
We did. Yeah. I love that.
I'll never forget that fucking coming out. We were like, oh, the monkey statue. We're like, oh, fuck. Oh, shit.
Dude, that story is so rad. And it's so funny because I completely remember you briefly telling me about this 15 years ago. Oh, but yeah. I had one more question. What was the dude like? Did he paid you? You say he was a great guy. I'm sure he paid you guys all everything said he would do.
Yeah.
What was it like talking to this dude that went in the end?
He was, you could tell at first he was still trying to be positive about it.
Mm-hmm. Like he was going to do it next year.
By the end, you could tell he was just broken.
It's like a fire festival
story. And he
story.
Was like a nice, he was like a super nice guy. He was like our age. He was
He's
younger.
From New Mexico or something too.
Yeah. And he was just trying to do something Andrew cool. Something. And
I think he loves the music.
I think he borrowed like,
yeah, a lot
of
money.
Like 20, 30 grand from his dad to do it. And like, obviously was not going to be able to pay his dad back. And, like, and it's by the end, he was just one of these guys just like,
he had booked all of us for shows before too.
In Arizona. Yeah. Like little club shows in Arizona. Exactly. You know, and he was trying to like step out and do something
he's
big.
Like, you know what? I'll do, oh fuck. He was just hoping people would come down.
Honestly, dude,
the whole
He was fucking... Eight years before his time.
Yeah. I hope he's rich right now. Okay, all the best to you.
I do. God, what was his
name?
I can't remember either.
He was a cool guy.
Yeah, he was a
good guy.
He was a cool guy.
Yeah. So what else? What do you guys got coming up now?
We're about to go on tour on, I don't know when this is going to air, but we go on tour January 16th. We're taking out the boys Tunnel Vision out of San Clemente. Taking these guys out of Guam that are actually taking us to Guam, which is going to be sick.
Oh, nice.
But they're called the John Dank Show. They just got
off. Oh, yes, I've heard of these guys.
They just got off tour with Eric Rachmani from Revolution, and they did sick. I mean, these kids know all our songs. They're not kids. They're like 30-year-old men now. But they know all our songs, and they stayed in my house for like, I housed them for like the first 4 days of here before they went on their tour. And they started playing Bad Seed songs. And at first, you know how you feel when people start doing that. Yeah.
You're like, okay.
Bro, fuck my song up. Yeah. Do it. And they start singing. I'm like, holy shit. I'm here thirds and fifths. I don't even get to do the fifth anymore because Metz barely sings with me now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's no fifth. And these guys are doing perfect harmonies to my songs. And I'm like, holy shit. So I start just joining in, obviously.
Yeah, right.
And they're phenomenal. That's great. Cool. So they're going to be on tour with us.
That's like the Green.
Yeah, exactly.
Those guys. We did a tour with them, and we did like for fun.
They're an all-star band for sure.
We recorded us all playing like, I think it was Vacation or something. We all played Vacation acoustic together, and they started singing just you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
How many harmonies are you throwing in this?
Seven.
It was awesome. It was awesome.
I'm going to do the fucking low third instead, you know?
So sorry to cut you off.
That's all good. No, and then we'll do, there's a band called Pacific Roots from Northern Cali. They're kind of backed by the Expendable Boys. They're coming for half of the run. Half of the run, like it's a big run. It's 2.5 weeks.
Okay.
But I can't do the big ones anymore, you know? I like to do 3 weeks and then come home and then maybe another 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But then we're going to get the band Crooked Trees, if you're heard of those guys, to come for the rest of they've never been on the road. And I've known O'Brown for a while. And he's like, come on, bro. I'm like, well, come on then, dude.
Yeah.
You know, just don't bitch out, dog. Let's do this, you know what I mean? But they're going to come through. And then I'm trying to coin this new thing. It's not new, but to me it is. The punk Rasta. Like, that's how I feel like our music is, you know?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Like, you guys are a little more hip-hop, in my opinion, but you guys are still punks, you know what I mean? And Rasta, too, in a way, you know, even though you know what kind of Rastas we are.
Yeah.
You know, but punk Rasta is the way I look at our music
All right,
now.
Cool.
So I'm calling it the punk Rasta party. And, I'm trying to take it to the East
Coast
in
July, And that fits good
July
with the Tunnel Vision boys, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why, you know? And John Dank is more that version.
Oh, sweet.
When you see them acoustic, they're more acoustic, and they're dope, like R&B almost, too, you know? But when you see them live, they're more like us. They're more alternative and expendable-y, like cool breakdowns and stuff. And then they, in turn, so we traded with them. I've been working on this deal for 2 years. They got us a show through my friend Jason Jay in Guam. And we're supposed to do 3 shows, but something's going on with their stuff, so we might only be doing one. But we got one. And then we got the airline the airline's sponsoring it, United Airlines. And I said, hey, man, you know, since we have plenty of time, you guys can talk to them. Can you see if they'll give us a layover in Hawaii and then bring us back through Japan? And so they gave me a 6-day layover in Hawaii, and then I got a 6-day layover in Japan. So I got 3 shows in Hawaii booked now.
Nice.
2 shows in Guam, I think, but maybe only one really, and then 2 shows in Japan.
Hell yeah.
So we're doing Japan.
That's awesome. Have
made
you ever been to Japan?
Never. It's my first time.
Japan is probably one of my favorite places I've ever been.
I'm just nervous about the communication thing, you know?
Have you ever been to Guam?
Never.
Guam is crazy.
Never been to Guam.
Do you know where you're playing in Guam?
I do not know the name of the venue. Actually, it's called Vibe Fest, is what the festival's called.
Is it out? Is it like on the beach?
I think so. I think it's a big thing.
I think that all the bands like us, when we go there, we play at the same
the
like
same venue
kind of party thing. And we played there. if you're not fucking completely fucking terrified of humongous spiders and shit, on that beach, if you look like where the stage are, if you're looking at like the rocks, like if you're looking at the beach this way, here's the stage, here's the ocean, and then there over here there's like this rocks that go out, and there's a little hike you can take to the very edge, and like you could look out, it's beautiful. Me and Matty O were like, oh, let's go do that. We got halfway through that little hike, and then we saw one spider that was like.
Don't it fuck was around, so, bro.
It was like the size of my hand.
It's not
right?
a crab, right?
No, but like thick. Like the legs were thick like my
And we're
like,
oh
my God, look at that thing. Style but shit. We saw that one. And then when you see the one, you start real. And when we realized, oh, they're all over around. The place. Cover everywhere.
No.
Hundreds. These things were this big, the size of my whole fucking
and not
head.
Scary looking spiders.
Dark black. Just pitch black. Pitch fucking black.
That's like black. You just think it's like the world's biggest black widow.
Dude, I we got back from the hike and we walked back like so weirdly because we were terrified.
This hat jumped on you.
And then we get back and, you know, one of the locals that was helping us show was like, oh my God, we saw this spider. And he's like, oh, they're harmless. And I'm like, fuck that.
Look harmless.
Fuck that.
Bring one home. All of a sudden you're opening your lug. He's like, what the fuck?
They were massive. I've never seen spiders like just in person that big.
That's scary.
Like. It was
just outdoor beach spiders all over the rocks, dude, and everything.
I'm going to tag you on Instagram when I look at one. I'm like, there you
go. It's like, I almost recommend, like, go over there and just look for a second until you see one, and you'll be like,
I don't like spiders. I won't kill them because, you know, they help out the household. Yeah. But if there's one, like, I've woken up to one just coming down on me. I'm like, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
You thought I was going to eat you? Yeah. Fuck that shit. No way.
Nice. So that's cool. Tour, any, like, new music coming?
I just released a song called Surf Trip, co-written by me and my boy named Bo Napoleon. He's a sick writer out of Hawaii.
Nice.
Actually, he's from Carson, but he's a Hawaiian guy. But he's super, super dope. He helped write a pretty good song. So I just released that. And I'm working on an EP. I was going to do another full length, but I'm working on an EP. We just finished recording a full length 18 tracks of our live set.
Oh, dope.
With three covers, a Stevie Wonder cover, the Valerie cover that I do, and then that Pennywise cover that I
Sweet.
Did over
yeah.
here. And so just trying to have an awesome stuff to, because I'm learning the game now that I'm actually involved in a lot of the work part of it.
Yeah.
I want to set myself up to have a good, like, ready for next year already
yeah,
type thing.
Totally.
You know, before I was kind of catching up. And now I'm stacking up to like release.
It's all about having consistent content.
And just having it ready to go. Not like, oh shit, I gotta come up with something right now. You know, and so
finish it and put it out.
Yeah, you know, and so that's what I'm working on too. And then it's hard to get the band together because like Pat plays with Brett Bollinger right now on his side project too. My keyboard player is from an old band called World Tribe that you guys might have heard about from back in the day. They played
like,
the Sublime
familiar.
Days and the No Doubt days and like freaking 311 back in the day. He's a lot older, but he murders it. When Dre left, I didn't know whether I wanted to get another bass player because you know how it is letting other people in your crew, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'll jam with people and I love it, don't get me wrong, but letting someone in the chorus, like, okay, we got to get ready to, like, accept this, you know? And so I don't know if I was ready to accept it. And he just said, fuck that, let me see if I can play in the keys. So he got a loop station. Sometimes he'll play the whole key line, but sometimes he can't, just triggers the loop. And boom, so we've been able to do this as a three-piece.
Nice.
And, you know, I'm freaking, you know, I'm loving the vibe. He's killing it for me. I'm very blessed to have you, Steve. I love you, man. You know, hope you're happy with us, you know? But I've known him forever. He's the one who brought me into the music scene in Hermosa.
Nice.
I used to watch him when I was a kid. You know, I used to go to all the bars and try to get in on the sets and like, you know, before when we're trying to come up. But, you know, it's working well. I'm happy, you know? I definitely understand the whole other side of it now. I was lucky, you know, I got to only work concentrate on the music for those 10 years and it was a lot big party. So, you know, those are the fun years.
It starts out as a party.
Yeah.
And then as you go, you realize, okay, this is actually my job.
And you got to follow up.
Yeah.
You know, my first album, people love it. And since then, I'll be real, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I think there's a lot of things that have gotten better. That's what I like, you know, personally. But what I'm thinking about the fans, what they want, what they constantly just bring up is the first album.
Yep.
First album. Like, bro, I just released a dope song. Listen to that one, you know?
Right.
But, you know, so it's constantly trying to get that. You know what it is, dude?
Totally.
Like, you guys, I'm so proud of you guys.
Thanks,
like,
man.
I've known you guys for a very long time. You've always had good songs. But fuck, man, the songs you guys have been releasing lately, like the summer song, I love that song, bro.
Thanks, man.
When I hear this shit on the radio, I'm like, damn, there's another one. And another one. And another one. And they are. And they're great radio songs and underground songs. To keep it true, you guys have always kept it real to how you guys are. You
gotta have
and
a like, balance, yeah.
Yeah, it's love, dude. You guys are fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah, thanks,
right now.
Man. Appreciate
Straight
that.
Up.
Well, hell yeah. I mean, shit. I know that when you do release that new music, it's going to make some people feel good, Jake.
I knew it was coming, and there's a woo and a clap track for you. And I'm like, hey, how about a, yeah, why not? And then, dude, I saw, I'm like, where's he going to go with this? There's so many good feeling things.
There was, lots of good feeling.
You could have said, hey, compliments are nice, and we didn't thank you for your compliments. Then you, I liked it.
All right. So, yeah, speaking of feeling
Daddy
good,
he always segues into this next segment. He always finds a way to say, feel good, right, Jake?
You feeling good?
We're right
feeling
about
good. Speaking
there.
Of feeling good, and Jake always cuts me off. And that makes
always.
Me feel
I always ruin it on purpose, yeah. Kind of. It's, I love watching it. Just
but we have some sponsors on this show that make us feel good. And as always, Koi CBD, huge sponsor of the show. Been with us since day one. We love this product. I use the drops every single morning. I tell you guys about it every time. And I'm going to continue telling you about it until you try it. Because they are amazing. I love the way that it makes me feel. Take some stress off of my day. Makes me feel good to start my day. And I fucking always have like aches and cramps in my wrists and my elbow. Since I've been on a steady diet of CBD, I rarely ever feel it anymore. Mm. I know you like the CBD.
I like the Koi too. I've been hooked up with them a couple of times and I like their drink. I actually have used it with vodka too.
Oh yeah.
And it's,
oh, this yeah, hemp drink? This hemp, that's so funny, drink. Man. Yeah. Everyone says that. You got to do the hemp
yeah,
drink.
Yeah, I've done with vodka and it's pretty bomb. I like it. I like it a lot. I take CBD products, but I definitely infuse it with the cannabis because it helps intensify
totally.
The numbness.
Yes. So yeah, man, if you're someone out there who's constantly taking like over the counter, like, you know,
yeah.
Advils and Tylenols Switch and all that stuff, give CBD a try. I think you're going to really enjoy
it.
You're going to enjoy how it makes you feel, and it's a lot healthier for you. And if you go to koicbd.com and you put in code DuddyB at checkout, you will get 20% off.
Woo!
That's right. You heard it here. Also, on
everyone's
it,
psyched. Listen.
On it, another sponsor of the show, and that's with two N's, onnit.com. They have so many amazing products every day, all day. Right here.
Oh, there it is.
This Alpha Brain. I love this product. It definitely, it's gotten me to be so much sharper. You know what I did the other day? I took my son to, he started like this soccer clinic, and I went, and there was a dad there I'd never met. He was just there, and he introduced himself to me. Hey, I'm Robert. How are you? I'm Dustin. That goes bloop, bloop, out the fucking brain, right? So then the next day, I take my son to his first class of jiu-jitsu. Which it just
nice.
Randomly,
I
roll
Sick.
In and there's the fucking dad and his kid from the soccer clinic. And he rolls up and go, hey, Robert. And he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, remind me of your name one more time. I was like, Dustin. And we walked out. I was like,
I remembered his name.
I remembered his fucking name. And I felt so good. And I know that has to be because of this fucking Alpha Brain. So, yeah.
I just pictured Daddy looking up to the heavens, just going,
I remember his fucking name.
Yeah, so happy.
I was very happy. So yeah, on it. They have so many great products. Whatever you're looking for, if you're someone who's working out a lot and you're needing some like protein and just, you know, supplements for that, they got it. If you're looking for something to just help you relax at night and sleep better, they got it. They've got whatever you're looking for. Go to onnit.com, two N's, onnit.com, and you /Duddy, you get 10% off the order.
Get on it.
Jake, didn't you just do a race?
I did. Yeah,
you used these products.
Dude, perfectly. Yes. That's right. So I did. I did a trail run yesterday. I've been watching people run trails on YouTube and I said, fuck it. I'm gonna do that. So I started training, signed up for Xterra. It's like a trail running series in Southern California. I did it yesterday. And how did I prepare for it? I took electrolytes from Onnit the morning before. The night before and the morning of, and then I took the pre-workout in a little jar. You know, took it to the race site, shook it up, drank it probably 20 minutes before the race. I had great energy. It was the fastest I'd ever done anything. I think when you do a race, people say you have adrenaline, so you naturally run a little faster. But so I did. I ran faster and farther than I've ever run. It was up and down crazy fucking hills, and I haven't been training that long. And the Onnit helped me definitely wake up early in the morning and get it going. And then I woke up this morning. And this is when Koi CBD comes in. Because, dude, like I said, I've only been training for, you know, I probably ran like 10 or 12 times to try to prepare for this big trail run thing. And then I did it. And it was steeper downhill and way steeper uphill than I've ever run. So yesterday I felt okay, but I woke up this morning and my ankles didn't work. Dude, I tried to stand up and they were like, nope. So some muscles were used that I've never used in my life.
That downhill running.
Oh, dude, downhill running is weird. And I now know that I need to practice that shit.
Yeah.
So I couldn't even move. And I went to the Koi CBD, the bomb, my favorite thing. Just lathered the ankles, dude, and the knees and the thighs, but mainly the ankles, you know. And look, I'm doing all right. I mean, I walked in here looking pretty good. The guys are making fun of me. I look a little old man.
Feeling good.
JK? The Koi CBD fucking helps so much, dude. I didn't want to take a bunch of Advil and jack up my shit.
No, you don't. You don't. Yeah. So no skate gang today for Jake.
Yeah, so I'm stoked because I thought about it and I was like, you know what? Both companies that help support our show, I used them both big time to do that race and they both came in handy. So yes,
boom.
Thank you to Onnit and thank you to Koi.
Yeah. All right.
So
we did that.
That makes me feel good.
That does.
Woo! All right, dude. This is the best. So Moy, we have some segments on the show. We had some segments in season one, but we got a bunch of new ones in season two and it's been fun. No more words. That's what's coming up. You guys know it at home. No more words. These are words that we don't think anyone should say anymore.
They had their time. They were cute.
They were great.
They were cute.
We like saying all of these words.
This one I don't think I ever really liked.
Yeah,
this one I didn't. But you know what? This one, like, my kids would say all the time, and it made me laugh at first.
Yeah.
And then the more I heard it, I was like, okay, stop or you're grounded.
This one was funny for like the first 5 or 6 hearings.
Yes.
And then it was okay,
shut the fuck up. And then you started hearing it everywhere. And then it was like, okay, I've had enough.
So before I kick into the song, we'll just let them know. Duddy,
I think you came up first.
All right, you came up with this one. So we're going to let you tell
them. I think
who came
Natasha
up with
brought Natasha this to did. The table and we were like, yeah. I can't even say it.
We can't even say it. Okay, Natasha did this one, but before we do that, we go. Oh, yes. Don't ever say these fucking words no more. All right. Natasha gets full credit for this one. What's the word, Daddy?
She brought this to the table, and we all said, yes.
Yes.
Yes, queen.
Let's do a little history. Yes is actually, we already have a word for yes. It's yes.
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 The word is yes, and it is super fun. It was super, super funny when, like,
I remember the first time my daughter dropped it on me. Like, I asked her something. Like, I was like, yo, you want this for dinner? She was like, yes, queen. I was like, oh, okay, that's pretty
all
funny.
All right, you sassy little nugget. Okay, I'm not a queen, but sure.
Right.
Dude, yes was fun for a good hot minute, and it's done.
Done.
It's time to put it.
What would you say? Now... Like,
yes.
Yes.
Yeah, there is. No. Is there anything for no?
Well, soon there will be.
Do people still say yes?
I hear it.
I hear it.
You still hear it? Yeah. Adults.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's the shit. Oh, God. Now. Do people still say yes?
That's
yes.
probably the shit that's now. Like, I don't really watch the news and stuff now, but I can picture that's probably on like the morning show. And they're probably like, yes.
Yes, they're still saying twerk.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, shit. That could have been a future word that we could have got rid of. But I think twerking's technically a dance move.
Like,
it explains a thing you're doing. Yes is just simply yes said annoyingly.
Yes.
At this point.
Yes.
Yes. Giving someone.
Natasha, get in here. I hear you laughing out there. Fucking come on in. Natasha, get in here and tell us something about the word yes before I hit the no more words outro and we move on from this segment. There she is.
Oh.
I heard you just dying out in the lobby area. So
what pissed you off? What was the last time you heard it where you were just like, no?
So one of my friends who is a man who dates men, I said it to him. I was like, yes, queen. He's like, honey, that's old.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, fuck, I got schooled. Yes. So then I turned into like, never mind.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Okay.
Love it.
Nice.
See, so that's awesome. Nice. The gay community gave us their stamp of approval. It's fucking done.
Do you think that's like, okay, so that's funny. So that's funny because now it's like when everyone's like, the black community comes up with a cool word and then everyone takes it and they're like, we don't say that no more. That's
bling,
like,
bling.
Yes. Yeah. It's like,
shit. Now we can't say it anymore.
So we did that to the gay community.
Yeah.
They're like, we don't say yes anymore. All you nerds took it.
Dude, they said you can have it back. Fuck. And we don't even want yes.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. Gays, we're with you. That's no more words. Oh, yes. Never say yes again after this and fucking. All right, dude. No more words. Super successful. Another quickly becoming my favorite.
This is my new favorite segment installment. Right here.
So, what words have we gotten rid of so far? I like recapping that. We got rid of yes, obviously today.
We got rid of bay.
We got rid of bay.
We got rid of
there's only been three. What was the first one, dude? Natasha, what was the first one?
Good. You got rid of it.
Fam.
What's up, fam?
Fam. Oh, you know what? Bay was like a subset of a. There was another one. We got rid of fam, and then Ashley Evan Smith.
Lit
was the first word that we got rid of.
Lit is gone. Fam is gone. Bay is gone. And yes is gone.
Yeah, dude. Yes, my bay is lit, fam. Out of here, son. You got it, dude. We got it. Let's bring him back. All right,
that was good.
Moy is in the house, and Duddy asked him a question, and Duddy somehow said he already knew the answer to this question before you asked him.
I just felt like it, because, like, you know, I just thought, I was like, this guy's got one. Are we in an igloo in here?
I know, I like
it. It is cold. You like it?
Well, I mean, it got a little too cold, but I was like, oh, that's nice.
Turn it up a little bit. Moy walked in, Duddy's like, I know he's going to have a ghost story. I just kind of know it. And it was funny. As soon as he walked in, Duddy's like, hey, have you ever felt like maybe you've seen a ghost? He's like, oh, yeah. Oh,
ghost,
yes.
Ghost or alien or something.
Quickly said yes. So
this leads us into our next thing. Everyone, you've had this night or this time where you've been hanging out with buddies or whatever, and you've been smoking or what, maybe you haven't, and somehow this subject comes up and someone's always got a story, and even if you believe it or not, it's still entertaining as fuck.
Yeah.
And that's why we do it here, and this is called Scary Town. What is it? Scary Zone. You put Scary Town up there.
Oh, fuck.
Been scared? Welcome to the Scary Zone.
Oh, just easily the best drop. Okay, maybe that's my favorite thing that we were doing this year.
That's the best drop ever. All
right. So, dude, Moy, let me give you a little backtrack and backing track here, and just go ahead and tell us your scary tale.
So, and I had my apartment in, actually, I'll tell a cool story. So, my apartment that I lived in Hermosa was 16th Street. It was owned by, what's his name from The Doors?
Jim Morrison?
Yeah, Jim Morrison.
Oh, wow.
So
shit.
He lived in my apartment next door to me. I lived in G, he lived in H, whatever. And so there was said, you know, stories, whatever, the people would hear ghosts, this and that. Well, I never saw or heard any ghosts, but I'd be falling asleep sometimes, especially after tour, and I would get sleep paralysis. And for sure, I'd feel like something's on my chest or something's on my neck, you know? And at first, I'd get scared for sure and probably be like, oh, God, you know, you fight to wake yourself up.
You're you're awake, but your body won't move. It's
and like you can, oh, I mean, it's just, it's unexplainable, you know? And so then after a couple of times of happening, it started happening regularly at this spot. And I just started getting up and be like, fuck this. And like, after I power up, like, where are you? Like, you're not getting me, bro. Let's do this, you know? And then I started looking more into it. And they say that's a way of getting into, when you can astral project into your dreams, like knowing that you're going to be in a dream and to control it. I've never been able to control my dreams, but Metz always talks about controlling his dreams. I'm like, you bastard. Like, he flies whenever he wants. He does however he wants. He knows he's in a dream, so he starts doing whatever he wants to do, you know? But I just started looking into it, and they said that sleep paralysis is like right before that can be a way of knowing you're going into your dream and to control it, you know? But I experienced it, and it felt like fucking spirits are on top of your chest holding you down. And you're like,
that sounds terrifying.
And then you break out, you're like,
I've had that happen a couple times. Have you had that, Duddy?
I've never had that.
Oh yeah, shit. You wake up and you're awake, your eyes are open, you're staring at the ceiling, and your body parts won't
move.
Fucking
you
move,
can't even talk.
Dude. And then they just do all of a sudden, and you're like, oh my God.
You like leap out
that?
Of it. And you're like, oh, fuck you up. Where are you?
Rachel's had before. Life, she's had
it hasn't happened to me since I moved out of that fucking apartment.
That's what I wanted to ask. It was only at that place. Yeah. That's scary.
It happened before in my life, I'm not going to lie. But it never once has happened since that. And I lived in that apartment for almost 9 years.
Oh, wow.
And it never, ever, ever has happened after. It happened before, though. Yeah. Never after, you know?
And happened a lot.
Now I have an even scarier one. So my dad kidnapped me when I was little.
I'm going to fade this out and restart this backtrack.
When I was little, my dad kidnapped me and took me to Mexico. And so we lived in my grandma's house in an old pueblo, and we all shared a room. And I swear to God, I don't know if it's just my dreams, remember when I was a little kid, but I remember waking up in the middle of the night, laying in bed, and my dad be laying here, and my sister be laying next to us too. And I look in the corner, and it'd be a fucking dark-looking shadow thing. They would just be like only dark there. You could see around everything else. You could see that it was dark around it, but there's like a shadow of a fucking person or entity or something there. And I just remember being like, fuck this room, and just sleeping. Like, my dad had to sleep with us. Like, there's no fucking way I wasn't sleeping with my dad in that house, you know? And that's when the little things started. But then I got sleep paralysis later in life. And then in that one apartment, it was just weird. But I haven't had it since. Never. But I used to wake up like, fuck, what's up?
Yeah.
Like, constantly. Like, you want this?
You
Let's
want this?
Do this.
Come get it.
You want my soul? Yeah. Yeah. Come get it. I'll fuck you up. Yeah, I haven't gotten it since. I have not. It's been like at least 8 years since I lived there, so.
I love this fucking segment.
That's good.
I've seen aliens too, but that's a different thing. Or UFOs.
You want to talk about that?
Oh, you got another one?
I got two crazy UFO stories. There's another UFO story. And this could have been a drone, because this is the beginning of drone life. I could have been a drone, but this one I was with my girlfriend back in the day. I was driving down PCH and overlooking PV. I saw a fucking like hover, like little saucer thing. And it went like this. And it went like that. And then just boom, went up and it was gone.
So for the listeners
was so
that don't
hammered,
know, PV.
It's Palos Verdes.
Hell yeah.
Right
it's like you're seeing over the ocean. It's like a big mountain, like cliff in the ocean.
Yeah.
And so
I'm
imagine this,
PCH,
people.
And like you can just see off in the distance. And she's hammered. And we're making a left off like playing a show. It's like 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I'll see like, and it wasn't green or red or blue. It was like more whitish. And it just went with a little blue tint and just took off. That was the second time. The first time I was in high school at this girl's house. And it was broad fucking daylight. And my friend Frankie, till this day, Frankie Ramos, if you ever get to watch this, he saw it too, dude. It was broad daylight. It looked like it was, I don't know, maybe 8 blocks away next to a light pole, telephone pole thing. And it was probably maybe as big as a house. And I don't know how nobody else saw it, dude. This girl's sitting on her windowsill and she's laying out this way facing us. And we're looking out her window. And me and Frankie both look at it. And we're looking at that shit. I look at Frankie, he looks at me, I go, fucking for real, bro? And all of a sudden just went to the next one and then just took off. Till this day, me and Frankie fucking always claim that nobody believes us on that shit.
Wait, what was it that you saw?
It was like another UFO, but it was broad daylight, though. And it was for sure silver, broad daylight. And it was probably maybe like 8 to 10 blocks away, floating next to like, it looked like it was next to a light pole, but it might have been a little higher than it. But it went from that light pole to another one closer that way, and then just took off. And it was in the matter of like fucking 2 minutes. And me and Frankie both looked at each other like, nah, really? What the fuck was that? And that was it. Until this day, people don't believe. Frankie and I still talk because he's a barber. When I used to get my hair cut, he would cut my hair. And we'd always tell that story and nobody fucking believes us. But it's all good, bro.
That's good,
you know?
Two
I used to have an imagination,
stories?
Dude.
Two scary ones and two alien ones.
Yeah.
That's like a nice little pass. Nice.
Those are all my real stories of anything. That's it.
Nice.
Yeah, dude.
Then there's DMT stories, but that's a whole other thing.
That's another episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Just because I love it so much, we're going to give Duddy one more.
Have you ever been scared?
This is Duddy B.
I
right
know,
here,
I can
everybody.
Tell.
Welcome to the scary zone.
And that's me at the
that's
end.
That's great,
all right, dude. Fuck yeah, dude. The scary zone once again.
Love that.
Best.
People are gonna think I'm fucking cooked out, but
no,
that's real shit.
I love it.
Do we have some more awesome drops that I'll awkwardly place into this episode? Have you ever pooped your pants? I think I heard Duddy ask you, and I think you said yes. You don't have to share.
Yes, but you know, I sharted once, and people know about it because it was during a baseball game. I was 12 years
people
old.
People know about it. Dude.
People
okay,
know
hey,
about
let's
it.
Let's get this out.
When we were,
and then you could take us. All right, I love this. People know about this one. Isn't anything new?
No, they do. I mean, I was. I was in junior high playing baseball, and I was on the all-star team, and we were about to try to get into the Little League World Series, and we were getting pretty close. We were doing fucking really good as a team.
Like Williamsport?
Yeah, like we were really good as a team, and this is the end of my baseball career. and I was the catcher. That's what I played.
Oh, no,
yeah.
And you know how the catcher stands.
And I had to fucking, and I'm literally getting bubbly guts, and I'm holding it in for like most of the game. And then going to the bathroom during between, you know, when we're off. And then, fuck, dude, I just fucking tried a little fart through.
Tell me you had white baseball pants, dude.
Yeah.
Tell me you guys
fucking ate. Nothing got crazy. And I was able to hide it for the most part. But you don't hide shit like that when you're a kid.
No.
They fucking know. People are like, huh? Why are you going to the bathroom? But I was sick as a dog.
Yeah.
And I was only doing it because I was the best catcher in our team.
You're like,
and
we got to do this.
Yeah, and I was just doing it. Like, I do it now. I just fucking, whatever happens, you got to go.
Yep.
Like, I've never even canceled a show for my voice. No. You know, like.
You just got to work
unless
through.
You're really dying. But
I think I told him the last episode of Jared playing the show and he had full-on food poisoning
and you do it
and
somehow.
He fucking didn't
spit
the
fuck
whole
it yeah exactly just hold it at the end of it you might be fucking going nuts but just do what you gotta do and the adrenaline helps out and But yeah, I was maybe 12.
Oh, that's still in junior high. That's a bad age for your friends to catch you shitting your pants. That's a bad age. Did you get a nickname for that?
No, I didn't get one for that. But oh well, yeah, actually.
Can we hear it?
God,
oh man, you're a shitty catcher.
Christian knows it. So my name is Moises, right? God damn it! I can't believe I'm putting this out there.
Is it Moist?
Moist ass.
You know Moist, it. Moist ass.
You know it, and Christian knows it's Moist. So. I can't believe I just revealed that here. We but fuck
a,
it, right?
Since you embarrassed yourself, dude. We had a friend who used to call me Jake's Bush Smells. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Studying my last name Bushnell. He's like, hey, what's up, Jake's Bush Smells? So yeah, fuck.
Yeah,
people
will moist fuck ass your name up no matter what.
People will fuck it up.
Yeah.
Moist ass. That is
moist
good.
Ass. It's too perfect.
Dude.
So there was a guy that got his that used to get his haircut at our barbershop. His name was dude, what was it? Oh my god, it was Brandon Richardson. And which whatever, Brandon Richardson.
Yeah.
And the guy who cut his hair was like an old friend of his. And one day when he left the barbershop, the guy who cut his hair is all, dude, that guy had the worst nickname in high school. And he's all, I always felt bad for him.
Oh,
they just called him Randon Bitcherson. They just changed the R. Randon Bitcherson. And he's all, everyone called him Randon Bitcherson. It was
Bitcherson.
Just, I was like, it's so easy. They just switched
them.
They just
switched the letters.
And he's all, it like hurt when I'd call, hear people call. Because he's all, I know it bothered him, but it was just.
You can't,
that was his name. Randon the teachers Bitcherson. Were like, is Bitcherson here? Like,
mine I remember him just because of this.
Mine followed me all the way to high school, too, a little
Moist
bit. Yeah, I did. And till this day, my sister's new boyfriend, which you watch this, I want you to know, you don't call me that shit no more, okay? You understand? Other people can call me, but you don't, bro.
No.
Out of nowhere, he's a young kid, and he's cool. He's a really nice kid, you know, but he calls me that out of nowhere, bro, the other day. And I look at him like, I'll beat your ass right now, bro. What are you talking about? Like, who told you that shit?
You can't. How do you call know that? Moist
you're 12
ass.
Years younger than me.
Oh.
Yeah, you're not even from this era. You have no jurisdiction in calling me moist ass, you know, but it stuck around for a minute. But I don't mind it. But I guarantee you, people that watch this see me on tour, you better not fucking say that shit.
See that, keeping dude, it real. Remember when we did Fam, when we got rid of Fam,
everyone.
Somebody's like, well, what if like Ghostface Killer calls you Fam? That's
yeah.
the exact.
Yeah.
And we then were like, oh, well, then it's kind of cool,
know?
But. No one else.
I
no
use
one
it
below
as familia.
Coolness.
Yeah,
I use it as familia. Like I say, familia when I say it. But I get it. Like I'm so over lit too. It's like God lit.
Oh, lit is
lit, bro.
That's why
I
was
lit.
The first
lit
one
like to. A titty.
Tapping back on no more words.
Fuck. So that was good.
Oh my
We've
god,
had some good
dude, you're knocking them dead, dude. You're crushing every segment right here.
You know what, dude? What it is like once you really like, I'm past the point of trying to be cool for sure.
Oh,
dude, like,
being
you know,
cool
like
is
that was definitely a part
work.
For us. You
for
know,
sure. When you're younger and you're just coming up, especially being in a band, trying
yeah,
to like, you're
you
like,
know.
I gotta be cool. People gotta think I'm cool, right?
Yeah, but then you get over it and you're like, you know what, dude? Let's just enjoy this shit together because we don't have many more days in this fucking love
and
life.
Exhausting trying to be cool. Just be yourself.
Who gives a fuck?
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
So speaking of cool, you got any cool band camp stories for us? Something that stands out of all your times of touring or
we've already
anything?
Told some. I know how you're gonna top all these ones,
I know,
but if you got
band camp
one
stories,
story
I mean there's so many cool. I mean,
but I got another drop if you have one. If not,
if
you
not,
got
no
big deal. You've already band
camp.
Well,
I mean, this whole thing's been a band
I love
camp.
I know, right? I mean, when we went to Fiji, you know?
Tavaro, all right, let me give
that
you
was
this.
The shit,
oh, and
you know?
This one time at band camp?
That's insane.
Yeah, we got to perform on a little itty-bitty freaking like sand pit thing or like sand hill in the middle of the ocean right next to Chopu.
Oh, that's
pretty
awesome.
Get out of here.
Yeah, we did a little acoustic gig for them. They filmed it, but then the guy lost the fucking
no.
Yeah.
No.
So people that don't know, Chopu is like a famous wave, and it's going to be much more famous. It will be the Olympic surfing wave.
Oh, really?
In 2024.
Sick.
So this Olympic surfing is finally going to be in the Olympics and skateboarding, and I believe they're just going to surf in Japan this year. But the next Olympics that has surfing will be at Chopu, and it's a fucking ridiculously dangerous. It's basically a wave that breaks like a mile out to sea, or like a half mile out to sea. There's a reef about a half mile or maybe even a mile out to sea, this reef where the water is basically like a foot deep over this reef, and these huge deep water swells come and they hit this reef, and it's just a huge, cavernous, dangerous, horrifying, scariest wave ever.
Even the
when
small
it's
waves.
On. Even if
even
it's
like,
small.
Yeah, a little overhead, it's like, woo.
People say
don't
it's,
hit that
it's
reef, bro.
Like, can be
they'll
even more dangerous when it's small because there's less water on that reef.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes you hear that like people get hurt more when it's smaller because there's just no water.
Yeah.
And so so you guys, and it is one of the most scenic places on earth. It's so beautiful. It's ridiculous. So you guys got to perform right there.
Pretty much. It was like off the side. There's a little sandbar zone that's off in the ocean. And we just sat there. And there happened to be a, like a perfect setup, dude. A big piece of tree wood. They'd been sitting there looking for it fucking ever. And we sat on it and we were playing a couple of our new songs acoustic. And then the guy lost the footage. Footage like didn't record. And, like we didn't even have it. And it was like epic. Like if you looked around. Like, it was just like,
it's the most beautiful setup
it was
ever.
So I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is fucking gorgeous. This is paradise.
That sounds amazing.
At least you were there.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
In your mind.
And that's the thing. How many cool things have you done? You're so lucky. We're so lucky.
Yeah.
So many cool
you
shit.
You get to do some, you get to, sometimes you find yourself at a place where you're like, holy shit.
Shit, this is what I'm doing?
This is what I'm doing today?
Like, that's why I look back to, like you said, the success we had before and like, and what I'm trying to accomplish now. And like, a lot of it I've done already, you know, in reality, you know, but it's not that I don't want to keep doing it and love it, but it's like, fuck, I look at these other bands that are coming up too that are just experiencing that. I'm like, it fucking feels good. And back then it was more competition, I thought, when we were younger, because we were just like that. It's a young thing, you know, but as you really settle into what you're doing and what it's all about, and now the scene is so, come on, you know what it was before.
It was nothing.
And now it's like what it is. And you're like, damn, look what we helped create. You
totally,
know? Like,
man.
And
totally.
All these kids are super influenced by us. Yep. And they're sick. There's good bands
there's
coming out.
A lot
out,
of good,
you know? A lot of good
up,
musicians coming in right now.
That's weird. Like, you guys are right. Like the scene was figuring itself out when my band was still playing. And you,
I mean, you're OG, you know.
OG,
you helped start.
To, like, 1999, we started that fucking band. You know, Surround Sound, and it wasn't like people were just out talking shit. There was a lot of friends within the scene, but everyone was trying to figure out where they fit in this scene, if there even was a scene. So everyone was almost on their own doing this reggae rock thing. Now it is a huge community, and it's one of those communities where all the bands kind of support each other. I'm sure there's still whatever drama. There's drama everywhere. But, you know, a lot of bands I see with reggae rock, they're all wearing each other's shirts.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Is
it's
that
like this
our scene is a little more supportive than other ones, I think,
way
now,
more
too,
so,
you know?
Yeah. And way more so.
It tries to be a little more unification to show what we're doing. So I think it's growing a great positive light. And there's so many, I mean, and there's so many different styles. And the truth is, like, I still want to stick in to our styles because we're like the originators of keeping it true to Cali reggae, not veering off into everything else. You know, we kind of blend everything together, you know?
Yep.
But there's so many variations now. I mean, the island reggae is its own thing for sure.
Totally.
And they're phenomenal, you know what I mean?
Now. It's crazy.
Exactly. Yep. You know, but there was just not even an umbrella. And now there's like, you can see the families all, you know, gathering together.
There's definitely the reggae bands that still do a lot of the punk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you got like, just the rootsy reggae.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Then you got the reggae dudes doing a little hip hop with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it
you got
is.
The pop, pop reggae.
Then you
too.
Got the pop reggae. You got like the lovers rock.
Yeah, exactly.
The island rock, like island, you said. Island. And you can see these little pockets where you're like, okay, even in this scene, there's still different little pockets. Mm-hmm. You know, it's pretty cool.
And you see them taking from each other now too, especially like, I watch Hyrie now. She does dubstep breakdowns. Like, oh shit, all right, cool. You know, Tribal Seas, they do some heavy, heavy breakdowns, you know?
And you get that stuff too. I think a lot of that is like just playing a lot of shows.
Yeah.
And you start realizing like, okay, well, I know when we play something like this live, it really goes off. So you start trying to like engineer songs, certain songs for live.
To be like a roller coaster.
Yeah.
You know, boom, blow you up, boom, then bring you back.
Yeah.
Turn the lights down, you know?
Totally. Yes,
it's a real fucking scene now, boys.
Yeah, One Love, right? We're both on it. I'm on your day.
That's right.
One I'm love. On your day. You know, Friday, it's February 7th.
This show is probably going to come out, you know.
I think this is going to air about a week after.
After.
One Love.
Yeah.
So hopefully everyone had a great time at One Love. This episode is going to come out like, mid or like late
mid-February.
February.
Yeah.
Make sure you fucking got all the footage.
Yeah.
Don't lose that. Duddy, I just looked over here and realized we completely fucking spaced on something at the start of the show.
The kerf board.
The kerf board, For the listeners at home that can't see, if you're watching us on YouTube, of course you've been looking behind us at our set, which is always changing. Every time someone gives us a cool gift or anything, Duddy and I are going to continue to add it to our set. So each season, we're going to, you know, you'll see the gifts.
That being said, if you're listening and you want to send something cool for us to put on the shelf or something, we'll put a P.O. box out or something. We want to start having some fun things from fans and guests and everything and just start adding to the room. So,
and, you know, so the first big thing that we have is, dude, Kerf Surfboard. That's K-E-R-F. And I think it's called Kerf Surfboards on Instagram. Natasha, if you could make sure that that's
it.
That's
it.
Yeah, it's at Kerf Surfboards.
Yeah. Follow him on Instagram. Dude drove up and he made us a custom board. I mean, it's a sick board.
And they work
good,
too.
It's got fin box. I mean, the thing looks fast as shit. And he put the Feeling Good with Duddy logo on the surfboard. So like I said, you can see it on YouTube. You know what? We'll make sure when we do the photo with Moy, we'll
post this as well.
Yeah, we'll put the surfboard in there. But dude, hooked us up, and it is a beaut.
So yes, that's at Kerf Surfboards on Instagram and KerfSurfboards.com. Check it out. Thank you so much for our board.
And Duddy had a great idea. I think we're going to have all of the guests that come in. You'll be the first person to sign it. We're going to have them sign the surfboard. Yeah. And look, maybe we, you know, even if we keep it in here, but we do want to potentially give it, like raffle it off. You know, maybe
we were
another
thinking
charity
a fun thing. We were going to talk to him and see if maybe we keep this in here the whole season. And throughout the season, we have every guest sign it. And at the end of this season, we'll raffle it off and give all the proceeds to a charity.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Or you could do it at the charity show next year, because you're going to do it yearly,
no
right?
Shit. That's the big
prize.
We want
to do the charity show biannually.
Oh, so twice.
Right? We'd like to do it twice.
Then there you go.
So we're definitely going to have everyone sign the surfboard, and then we will figure out
what we're going to do with it. Yeah.
But it's an absolutely amazing gift from Kerf Surfboards. Go to Instagram, Kerf Surfboards.
While you guys are still on if people want to give stuff, do you remember the Nashes? Nikki Nash and Josh Nash?
Yeah.
They're from Salt Lake City. Or
yes.
Thule,
yes.
That your guys are their favorite band. Because we crashed at their pad. They call it the Nash Crash Pad.
Okay.
And I hope they're probably watching this for sure. They love you guys, bro. They got a whole room there that's all Dirty Heads memorabilia.
Oh, shit.
And the guy, Josh, he's fucking awesome person. He takes photos, too. You guys probably seen him recently, and his wife is super awesome. She just did a wood burning thing, but they're super artistic.
Yeah.
And he likes to do a lot of metal work. So I think he made a sick, sick Dirty Heads symbol that's made out of iron.
Yeah.
And when I go there, I'm gonna be there like in a week.
Hell yeah.
I'm like, hey bro, you didn't watch the show, but it's gonna come out in a couple months, and you need that. I'll make sure, but he loves you guys.
I feel like they've given us something before.
Yeah, he makes dope shit. They're like quality stuff.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, throwing that out. Well, shit, anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
Yeah, let's do some pluggy plugs.
Yeah, just I want to plug my I have a t-shirt shop called The Rock Shop in San Pedro, California. It's 405 6th Street. It's where we sell. It's like a Bad Seeds merch store / other people that are involved in the culture of that neighborhood. It's like the new Fairfax.
Nice.
Happening over there. We got shoes. We got all kinds of dope stuff. Plug that in. I want to plug in Tomorrow's Bad Seeds on Instagram, on Facebook, TMR Bad Seeds on Twitter, and then LABadSeeds.com if you want to keep up with our shows and what we got going on. And you know, just come out to a show, come say what's up, and, you know, feel free to take a picture with us. We're all about it.
Hell yeah, man. So again, thanks, Moy, for coming out.
Thank you for having me, bro. Another fun episode.
Fucking great episode. I love going down memory lane with you guys.
Thanks to everyone over here
too many.
At Reamp Studios.
Yeah.
CutlassBrand.com.
Oh, yeah.
You guys.
They've been hooking it up lately. They're sponsoring the tour, too. They give a Cutlass and Top Shelf Cultivations out of Long Beach. They're the ones helping us with tour support this week.
Hell yeah.
Want to make sure I shout them out.
And when this episode drops, our new line will be out. We have a bunch of new gear out at CutlassBrand.com right now. And as always, if you put in code FEELINGGOOD at checkout, you're going to get 20% off your order.
Giving money away over here.
You know what? Another humongous shout out to Surf Roots.
Yeah,
you can always check out our episodes every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time.
On the app, right?
PM, on the app. Yeah, huge supporters of the show, and just a really cool thing. Go download the Surf Roots app. You can listen to all sorts of great music on there. They've got other cool podcasts. Check it out. Surf Roots, thank you. And yeah, thanks to everyone else for tuning in.
Yeah, thank you guys for having
me. Love y'all. See you next week. Peace.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. LeafHome.com/water